Well, happy Pride Month to everybody, to the LGBTQ plus community. We're always adding letters to our community. And to all the allies of this community, which I think pretty much covers us all, right? So happy Pride, everybody. Also, this Saturday is Juneteenth, Saturday, June 19th. It, also known as Jubilee Day or Liberation Day, it marks the end of slavery. So while Pride and Juneteenth are connected in the sense that they're both about freedom, of course, they speak of very different freedoms, yet they still can rest in that basic idea of human dignity and authenticity. So freedom, whether it be from slavery, freedom to love who we love, freedom to authentically express who we are, or you name the freedom, that's part of what we're looking at today. Whatever that freedom is, it rests on two basic ideals, truth and liberty. I'm sorry, truth and justice. Liberty is a part of it all. Truth and justice. And so we begin to look at truth. Jesus speaks of truth in a very pure and simple way. The truth will set you free. And that is something that we understand from a spiritual standpoint. And we can also understand that in the relative world, in this world that we live in, this earth school that we're all a part of. In earth school, you know, we're there with our fellow human students, and it may not always be so easy just to drop right in to the absolute truth and for us all to agree, right, that this is the absolute divine truth. So all those relative truths along the way to that depth of understanding are a part of the package of the truth that sets us free. So while all of our spiritual journeys are kind of interwoven with one another, we know from being on this path long enough that generally the pace of the journey is not so much leaps and bounds. That's why we often call it a spiritual walk. It's more of a process. It's more of a walk, sometimes a stroll. And if it's super slow, it can be actually quite tragic. So we start where we are, though, and we do our best to keep muddling through to get to that place, that absolute understanding of truth, that divine truth that underlies it all. Viola Fletcher and Hughes Van Ellis were young children when they lived in the Greenwood District of Tulsa, Oklahoma. 100 years ago, they were in this area, this affluent black area, the neighborhood, the residences, the businesses were thriving. And one night, actually over a two-day period, an angry white mob attacked this area. And Viola and Hughes had to flee their home, and along with 10,000 other people were rendered homeless instantly. 300 people lost their lives in what is now called the Tulsa, Oklahoma Race Massacre. Viola and Hughes recently testified before Congress. They're now 107 and 100, respectively. I think we have a picture of them. Viola said, for 100 years, she has felt really restless and sleepless at night and anxious when the sun goes down. And Hughes, a World War II veteran, said this to Congress, please don't let me die without justice. 100 years they've been living with this and holding this dream of justice, holding the dream that the affirmation that we speak in America with liberty and justice for all will come to fruition finally in their lifetime. So many people in Tulsa, Oklahoma, even residents of that area, had never even heard about the massacre. For a lot of us, it's new news or relatively new news. 100 years of silence has been broken. 100 years of deception has been revealed. That's where the healing begins. When I was a prayer associate at Silent Unity, one of my favorite prayers was to summon the spirit that was within the person, the caller that I was praying with, and of course within me, and into the presence, to infuse that space with the presence of God, and then to speak, reveal that which needs to be revealed, and heal that. It's really the process that we go through, the revolution of truth. Then begins truly the opportunity to fully heal. So once the truth is revealed, we can actually be set free. Spiritual liberty has authenticity at its core. It's this knowing that a soul, every unique soul that we all are, has the freedom to express the truth of who they are, how they feel, how they see fit. So if they don't fit into some kind of category or confine or box that we've created in our society, that we give them the space to be who they are. So many in our society don't fit strictly into a category of male or female, but they may identify as transgender or non-binary. So allowing them to be free to express who they are is a part of that, to be as we are created by our source, and to allow ourselves and each other that freedom. We also can do that for each other no matter what color our skin is. No matter what the texture of our hair, the shape of our eyes. It's so interesting that we have such propensity and love and appreciation for the diversity of nature. We love that there's an array of different colored and shaped flowers and different kinds of trees and various animals. Yet when it comes to each other, when it comes to humanity, we put up some kind of wall that says it's not okay to deviate from some kind of norm I've created in my mind and society has agreed to. So it's busting those walls down. It's crossing those lines that we've created that allows us to move into true spiritual liberty and to offer it to one another. So where is your growing edge? Where is your growing edge in terms of acceptance and appreciation? Because we all have them, right? We all have areas where something just feels a little foreign to us and we just can't quite get there yet. I've heard a number of people say, well, I accept and are comfortable now with gay and lesbian people, but I don't understand the transgender thing. Well, right in their own words is the answer, right? I don't understand. I don't understand is an open door to walk through. I don't understand is a clear marching order to educate ourselves so that we can understand, to listen so we can understand. It allows us to move closer. You know, communities have the opportunity to either shut the door and confine spiritual liberty or to open up the floodgates and let it live and thrive in its natural state. I know of a girl who doesn't feel like she belongs, but was born into a religious community. It's everything she's ever known, her family, her parents who she loves, her friends, her community, yet she doesn't feel like she aligns with it. Maybe she did at one time, but she's just dying to burst out and to be freed of it. But at the same time, the price will be so high if she does so. She has to pay the price of being disowned by her parents. This is part of the culture. Not having those friends anymore. Losing her community entirely. That's a huge price for anyone, let alone a young girl, to pay on her journey. Yet the longing in her to be free, the longing in her to discover the world beyond the constriction of this community and to enter into other possibilities of spiritual community is so strong in her. I do believe that she'll make her way. I do believe that she'll find spiritual liberty. And we can all hold a prayer for those in her community, her friends and her family, her parents, that they might find it in their hearts to hold that for her as well. In 2 Corinthians, it speaks to this. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit is, there is liberty. Trusting that, allowing ourselves to have faith in that. Have you ever been ostracized or otherized in any way? We pretty much can all relate to that, right? At some point, at least, in our life, we have most likely felt that way. And so if we can enter into that feeling and remember again what it feels like, it will allow us to then have the compassion for others who may be feeling that way too. We tap that universal pool of needs, right, that is there for us, authenticity, a sense of belonging, the importance of community and connection. That is something we all share. Strong communities are built on a sense of appreciation. They're built on of diversity, a sense of acceptance, and for authentic expression. They don't have a high price that people have to pay in order to have those things. They come automatically as God welcomes all of us automatically. It's being that, right? It's emulating the divinity that we know is ours to be, is a part of how we show up in community, to celebrate diversity, to commit to inclusivity. Now, in unity, we come by it honestly, because, you know, it's our namesake, right? Unity. Unity means oneness. Unity means harmony. Unity means togetherness. Unity means connection. It means inclusivity. It's built in to the namesake of our movement. And then in our message of our mission, the purpose of why we specifically, Unity of Walnut Creek, have come together, we open that with a statement, a proclamation. We are a loving and inclusive community. And finally, in Unity, amongst all the spiritual teachers and masters we honor, we really look to this way shower, Jesus, and see how he emulated, embodied the spirit of inclusivity in everything that he did. He drew to himself a circle of friends and followers that often didn't fit into society the way that society saw it at that time. He welcomed everyone as equals. He spoke openly in the light of day to women and to Samaritans, which wasn't what Jewish people did then, certainly not someone who was sometimes referred to as a rabbi. And yet he just didn't see, you know, as he spoke of, it's not the letter of the law, it's the spirit of the law. Equality was more important to him. And so we follow that example, that, as we like to say, way showing. So do you remember, maybe you do, maybe you don't, if you're familiar with it, the Bible story where there's a woman who has committed adultery or allegedly committed adultery, and this whole rabid crowd is ready to throw stones, which was the punishment at the time, this barbaric way in which they did this. And Jesus stood before her and said, "Let the one who is without sin cast the first stone." You can almost transport yourself to that scene and hear the thud of all those stones that were falling besides people. Because in just those few words, how far they came to a oneness with that accused person only moments before that had been in complete separation from them. Hope told me a little joke this morning that that is added to that story, that just as Jesus said this, this stone came whirling past his head, and he said, "Oh, mother, please." As Aboriginal artist and activist Lilla Watson once said, our liberation is bound up together. So when we liberate ourselves, we can help another liberate. And when we work to liberate those who are not as liberated as us, we ourselves become more liberated. Juneteenth is the celebration I mentioned earlier of freedom, of liberation, of jubilee. What's interesting is the date itself is not when Lincoln proclaimed the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863, but it actually was 2.5 years later in Texas when this proclamation was made, and that slaves in Texas were finding out 2.5 years later that they were actually free. So I love that the Juneteenth doesn't go back to 1863 when most slaves were free, but waits until everyone is free. until we are all free, because our liberation is bound up together. That delay of liberty and justice for all has waited long enough, hasn't it? The time is now. The time is right, because so many more of us are spiritually awakening in our consciousness around race, around gender, around you name it. There is more understanding, more openness, more desire to know, more desire to share with one another and bridge that gap. So I think it is time for us to manifest this American affirmation with liberty and justice for all. Divine justice is not about punishment. It is about accountability. It is about fairness and equality, about integrity. It is about aligning with what is true. And it's about human dignity. It's a big part of the healing that follows the revealing when truth is laid bare. As Mary Baker Eddy, the founder of Christian Science, said, "Let truth uncover and destroy error in God's own way, and let human justice pattern the divine." Now, you might think the work of justice is for those people who are political activists, and you may not identify that way. But let's remember our real marching orders. The prophet Isaiah makes it clear that justice is our spiritual charge. Learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice. He's not the only one. Micah and others speak to this, that it is a part of our spiritual walk to bring forth justice, to be one who brings that forward. So if you think about activism only in one way, we have to broaden our understanding that sacred activism, activism that's centered in spirituality and faith, can do so much good to move the needle to allow us to achieve the kinds of vision and goals that we hold. So through our spiritual liberty, too, we discover a kind of spiritual authority in us, that innate spiritual authority, that power to discern, the wisdom that lies within us, and we begin to trust that more and more. It allows us to be a more just person, to be a strong person, to be able to stand in strength and courage when the going gets tough, because it does when we're pushing up against old structures and old ways of being that just don't work for us anymore. But we can and do find that spiritual authority in us as we take one courageous step after another into the fullness of sacred activism. So we just follow our hearts, right? To be a just person is to be a person of heart, who follows their heart and then knows what is theirs to do. And each of us will have probably a different calling. But as you do discover that, you'll contribute then to this overarching desire to truly bring forth, to manifest once and for all, to experience these ideals that were set out by our founders, that are spiritually inspired words. These ideas of equality and justice and fairness and liberty. So let's paint this canvas of these ideas. Let's paint the fullness, the rainbow of the colors together. Let's allow Carol Manson to sing us in with this song called Painted on Canvas.
We start off with gesso brushed on by people we know. Watch your technique as you go. Step back and admire my view. Can I use the colors that I choose? Do I have some say? What you use? Can I get some greens and some blues. We're made by the pigment of paint that is put upon. Our stories are told by our hues. Like Motley and Bearden, these masters of peace and life, layers of colors and time, step back and admire my view. Can I use the colors that I choose? Do I have some say what you use? Can I get some greens and some blues? We are like children. On by people we know, watch your technique as you go. Step back and admire my view. Can I use the colors that I choose? Do I have some say what you use? Can I get some greens and some blues? We're made by the pigment of paint that is put upon. Masters of peace and life, layers of colors and time, step back and admire my view. Can I use the colors that I choose? Do I have some say what you fall down, get up, and we start all over again.
Well, that rainbow of color painted on canvas. Thanks to Carol Manson for that song. So I see two primary ways that we can reach this lofty goal of spiritual liberation, of divine justice for all. The first is the acknowledgement of truth, the acknowledgement of what is so. And the second is to be an ally. Let's look at acknowledgement, for example, to start. So you heard earlier in the service that Diane gave a land acknowledgement of where we are here at Unity of Walnut Creek, that we acknowledge that this land is Yukut's land, this land is Bay Miwok land, this land is Ohlone land. We acknowledge that the land is stolen, which is a part of just laying bare the truth, right? But it's also bringing forth what is sacred. There's nothing, maybe nothing more sacred than life itself or land itself to Native peoples. And so by naming that, we make these people visible. We bring into visibility history, we bring into visibility sacredness, and we bring into our own heart space the sense of oneness that we too have with the land as human beings. Our bodies are the earth. We remember that we can be good stewards, that we can be conscious stewards of this land. We remember from whom we have inherited this land, someone who took such good care of it. And so for us, these are all reasons, many reasons, and there may be many more for having a land acknowledgement like this. And think about it in future generations, that there may be people acknowledging that this is Ohlone land, this is Bay Miwok land, this is Yukut's land, this is also land where Unity of Walnut Creek, a spiritual community, cares and cultivates a sense of stewardship toward the earth itself and all people. A kindness that we offer. And the second is to be an ally. So being an ally helps make the world truer and freer and easier and more accepting for all. At dictionary.com, they define an ally as someone who supports disenfranchised and underrepresented groups of people. So there are some easy ways that we can become allies. Super easy, almost no effort. You could consider changing or renaming yourself on your Zoom so you actually put your pronouns there. Or you could put that and or you could put it in the signature of your email. When you introduce yourself to a group, you could introduce yourself. I'm Kristen Powell. My pronouns are she and her. Now, why would we do that? Because, of course, somebody could be present, somebody could be listening, who doesn't identify in one of these solid camps that we've created that are male or female, and it normalizes the process so that they too can share their pronouns. And as a transgender person recently told me, it's not preferred pronouns. Don't use that. I prefer milk in my coffee. These are my pronouns. So just these are my pronouns. And so as we do that, we make way for others to feel more comfortable, to feel more included. It's pretty easy to do. There are other easy things we can do, and sometimes they're a little bit more challenging for us, because when we consider part of being an ally is also recognizing that we can be part of the problem too, that we ourselves need to work on ourselves, our own thinking, our own judging, our own ways of seeing things in order to open up further. One of the terms that you might have heard before is microaggressions. So it shows up when we say things that we're unaware of, but is actually hurting someone. Usually these things are out of, you know, some kind of prejudice that we're not aware of, perhaps, or something we've just been taught. It might be that it's a normative thing where we've normalized the society based on a dominant group, and so we're measuring everything against that, and we're unconscious of that. But these little slights or big slights can happen all day long for some people. So when you finally see somebody get upset, it may be that that's already happened 10 times to them in the last week or whatever it may be. So when it comes to our attention that we have said something that is considered a microaggression, what's important is how we respond, right? It's often where we'll go is into what I intended. Oh, I didn't intend to say that. That's not what I meant. And so we get all in our stuff about protecting and defending ourselves. But if instead we can just remember this, impact instead of intent. Impact over intent. That's where we want to focus. Focus on the impact it has on the other. Focus on listening and hearing and learning about the impact of what was said and what that impact is. So we don't have to worry about being perfect. We don't have to worry about being labeled some way that we don't want to be labeled. Instead, just recognize we're all learning. Have compassion for yourself and most of all for the person who is saying that hurt. This is a huge piece in our evolution as a community, as individuals, as a world. I can't tell you how many times I've heard Zula say, and Zula is one of our facilitators of our racial consciousness study groups, how much it lifts a weight off of her shoulders when her community comes together to learn and to grow. How much it helps her that we're committed to growing and to becoming more racially conscious. If that isn't enough motivation for any of us, I don't know what is. That's all I need to hear. Because if one member of our community has a weight lifted off of their shoulders because we become a little more conscious, wow, it's not that hard. We can do this. We can move closer and closer, and we can indeed bring forth liberty and justice for all. So as we do so, we know that what we create is a more truthful world, a more just world, a place where all citizens of the world are free. And we do this in our contribution by helping to make it so, by patterning after the divine, as Mary Baker Eddy said, and to bring it forth. So let's speak this affirmation together, and let's know this, and really, most of all, put feet to it throughout our week, this week and beyond. So together, I invite you to say this affirmation with me, together. The world is truthful and just, and all her citizens are free. I pattern the divine to help make it so. And so it is. Blessings.